Welcome to Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams so that you have the courage to live your best life. I'm Rebecca Mullen, a relationship coach living in Western Colorado. Today, I'm wondering if you ever feel like you're living beyond your capacity, maybe way beyond. How do you nourish yourself, really and truly nourish? In this episode, we'll talk about the variety of ways you can take care of yourself so you can decide what's most important to you. You'll hear a story about my dog and how I learned to value self-care. You'll hear about two fundamental elements of self-care, capacity and nourishment, and why they are sometimes in conflict. And then I'll give you a simple habit so you don't get overwhelmed by all the choices there are for taking care of yourself. Why does self-care play such a vital role in your relationship? I'm not talking about bubble baths and manicures. Those things let's call pampering. I'm talking about truly taking care of yourself, giving yourself what you need. How do you care for yourself? You know you need self-care when you're feeling stretched beyond your capacity, right? So you find something to nourish you. Sometimes when you're feeling particularly empty, that might be a quart of ice cream and a Netflix binge, right? But when you're not completely exhausted, nourishment might be tending a garden or riding your bike under the blue sky. I want to talk with you about the tension between capacity and nourishment. Sometimes your capacity is so low, you don't have energy to nourish yourself. Sometimes the things that nourish you also deplete your capacity. Let me tell you a story when I tangled with these two things, capacity and nourishment. Now, I am a dog person. I cannot express how much I love dogs. I love petting a dog that nourishes me. It fills my tank, relaxes me, as well as invigorating me. And one of my favorite things in the whole world is to have a dog to walk with me. So when I was 21 years old, I got a dog. David and I went to the shelter, and this dog, Sarah, decided to come home with us. I was in heaven. I petted her. I kept her rich and chewy toys so she didn't get tempted to gnaw on my sneakers. I walked her up and down the mountain that was directly behind my house, and I taught her to sleep in a kennel so she felt safe anytime I needed to leave the house. Life was good. So good, in fact, that 2 years later, when I was on a field trip to the animal shelter, I spied a puppy that stole my heart. Well, I hadn't planned to get another dog, but this little beagle mix was adorable and her little puppy face couldn't be resisted. Here's the mistake I made. I didn't wonder about how much energy I had. I didn't wonder how I was going to safely get two dogs walked. I didn't wonder about how having two dogs would change the dynamic in my house. I just let myself fall in love. We all do it, right? We named the new puppy Megan, and I was thrilled because I had my two pups and I was a hiker. I laid on the living room floor in the middle of a pile of dogs and let them lick my face. Megan never got tired. No matter what I did, she still had more energy. I took those two dogs on 90-minute hikes up and down hills behind my house. And when we got home, Megan still had energy. So she burst into the backyard to bark at people walking through the alley. Sarah, who had never bothered to bark, decided it was fun to be a pack animal, and she followed Megan to the fence and barked as well. It wasn't long before my dogs were a barking brood. The postal carrier arrived at my front door and woof, 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 woof. I was startled awake from my nap. Or my mother knocked at the door and ow, woof, 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 woof. I was busier calming the dogs than welcoming in my mother. I became anxious. Every transition made the dogs bark. I'd bark back at them to be quiet. My house was pandemonium. My guests had to wait outside while I got the dogs into their kennels before they could come in. This made me feel out of control and unkind to people who were guests in my home. I wasn't living into my values, and this made me feel all discombobulated. Additionally, my husband is a quiet person. Each time the dogs erupted in a barking frenzy, he'd jump and then he'd shout, and he is not a shouter. I felt like each time he shouted at the dogs, he was really shouting at me, "Make these dogs behave!" The dogs were my idea. I wanted dogs. Every dog in the world loves me, and I love them. But just because I loved them didn't mean I knew how to handle them. I felt out of control, and I felt like my husband was always mad at me. This is a tough stage in a relationship. The romance of those early years of butterflies and Twitter patience have worn off, and now it's time to make friends with the realities and responsibilities of adulting. We both were filled with unarticulated assumptions about how life together was supposed to unfold. I was silently expecting David to help me figure out the dogs. After all, I felt like they were our practice kids. David was silently expecting me to deal with the dogs because I'm the one who wanted a dog. Silent expectations of each other are hard enough, and I'll be talking to a therapist about this in an upcoming episode. But then add in the exhaustion and pandemonium I was feeling with those barking, out-of-control dogs, and I was showing up as the worst version of myself, which means I was blaming. Tensions built between David and me. And then I got pregnant. I was sick every morning, so the dogs didn't get their early morning jaunt. Not having that chance to burn off the bulk of their energy, they began to dig in the yard, and the barking in the alley increased. These dogs were wild, and I had no energy to tame them. Once my daughter was born, I did the best I could and put that little baby into a front pack and later a backpack, and I hiked up the hill. But still, those dogs didn't get the walks they needed. Their bad habits deteriorated. The barking increased. The calm disappeared. And then I got pregnant again. My life was breaking down. I was a mess of tears on a regular basis. Something had to change. And I knew what that something was. But I didn't want to admit it to myself. I couldn't have another baby, support my husband's decision to go to graduate school, and care for these two dogs. I was living so far beyond my capacity that I was no longer myself. I was always impatient, always short-tempered. This is what happens to any of us when we are empty of resources and beyond our capacity. Isn't it fascinating that the thing that nourished me, petting dogs, walking dogs, living the dog-rich life, was now the thing that was draining me? The day I took those two dogs to the animal shelter was one of the worst days of my life. I came in crying so hard that the woman at the counter asked me, "Are you sure you want to do this? Maybe you need to reconsider." "No," I said. "I can't make this drive again. But will you tell me if they get adopted?" She promised me I could call every day. And thankfully, they were both adopted before the week was over. But they weren't in my home anymore. And even now, decades later, you can hear that it makes me sad that they left my home before they left planet Earth. So how is this a story of self-care, you ask? We are all tempted by life, the way I was tempted by that little Megan puppy. We want the fun of the puppy, the nourishment a puppy brings, but we don't have the maturity, the capacity to understand the responsibilities that come home with that cute puppy and plunk themselves down into our daily routines. Self-care is taking care of yourself So your resource tank is full and you are able to live up to the responsibilities you have embraced. Let's break it down into parts. Capacity and nourishment. Capacity is the ability to be realistic about what you can handle. Nourishment is regularly filling your tank so you don't ask yourself to run on empty. The more nourishment you offer yourself, the more capacity you'll have. The more you respect the limits of your capacity, the less crucial it will be to continually nourish yourself. Can you see how they fit together? Capacity is knowing what drains your tank. Nourishment is knowing what fills your tank. When I got that second puppy, sweet little Megan, I didn't even consider my capacity. I just let myself fall in love with the ideal version of nourishment, which for me was the smell of puppy kisses. One of the quickest ways for me to feel like everything is right with the world is to pet a dog or walk a dog. What I didn't consider is all the responsibility that would come with that same nourishment. All the ways that little puppy would drain my capacity. Puppies don't just smell good. They also poop. They get into the trash and scatter it across the kitchen. And then that little puppy chewed a hole in the prize-winning quilt that my mother had made for me. Ugh, I felt so awful, like I didn't appreciate that incredible gift she'd given me. The balance of nourishment and capacity were way out of whack in my life. And this is the balance you need to tend in order to truly take care of yourself. So how does that balance between the two work? There are things that nourish you. Maybe you want to further your education so you can get a promotion. Or maybe you want to learn to play pickleball so you have more fun with your friends. These are both nourishing activities. The promotion at work will build your confidence. That's nourishing. And the pickleball will increase your sphere of friendships. Relationships are the number one contributor towards overall life satisfaction. Sounds pretty nourishing, right? They both seem like great ideas, but let's look at how they might drain your capacity. You work longer hours when you're doing all that studying for your promotion, so you get less sleep, which makes you edgy in the morning, and you and your sweetheart might tangle as you make coffee. Or you don't make it home to cook dinner, so you eat junk food, or your sweetheart is angry because you're not taking your turn in the kitchen. Or with the pickleball, you get so involved with your new pickleball friends that you forget your sweetheart's birthday. Can you see how it's complicated? Nourishment is necessary, and sometimes the very thing that nourishes your soul also drains your capacity. I wish I could give you a straightforward recipe. Here's the perfect balance between capacity and nourishment. But if I did that, you'd know I was lying. This balance is not only different for every person, it's different for each person during each season of life. If you're like most people I know, you overestimate your capacity and fail to nourish yourself. This is why we talk about self-care, because it's easier to coast through life. But when you're coasting, you're also reacting. Reacting to the dog's barking by barking back. Or maybe because you're hangry with no plan for dinner, you blame your sweetheart. You never cook. Then the two of you decide to order pizza to be delivered, and after your hangriness is satisfied, you tell your sweetheart, "We've got to stop spending so much." But there's no nourishing plan about what's for dinner tomorrow. There's no plan to get the dogs to stop barking. So the other piece of filling up your capacity is to notice what nourishes you. Here's what radical self-care looks like. Take action to give yourself that nourishment and safeguard your capacity. This isn't easy. It takes practice. Are you enjoying today's podcast episode? then I'd invite you to subscribe to my newsletter. In addition to getting a reminder from me when a new episode comes out, I offer deals and conversations that you only get in the newsletter. Subscribe at RebeccaMullenCoaching.com/mailing list or click the link in the show notes. This week's habit for your happily ever after is to identify one repeated pattern in your life that causes your capacity to be drained. Is it around food or meal planning? How about constant deprivation when it comes to sleep? Or maybe you have some exposure to a difficult person in your life that drains your capacity. Once you take time to identify one of the ways your capacity gets drained, take some time to cultivate kind self-talk. I wish I could have been kind to my younger self and said, "Rebecca, you're asking too much of yourself. Dogs that need walking, babies that need feeding and holding, all in the midst of going to work, shopping for groceries and making meals. You're tired, you're overwhelmed." Notice how this low capacity is impacting your relationship. Imagine how your relationship would change if you could mitigate this low capacity drain. If I could have tired those dogs out, the barking would have reduced. I wouldn't have been shouting at Dave, and I wouldn't resent him for not helping me with the dogs. So let's look at a couple examples. Being hangry is a great example of low capacity. Prepping lunches, on the other hand, for the week is a great example of nourishing that capacity drain. Working late, night after night, is a great example of low capacity. But taking the weekend off and having at least one day a week to just be and follow your desire of the moment is a great example of nourishing your capacity. Last example, constant exposure to a toxic person is a reason you might experience low capacity. But then when you spend quality time with friends who support you and build your confidence, that's a great way to nourish yourself and replenish that capacity. So this week's habit for your happily ever after is to identify one repeated pattern in your life that causes your capacity to be drained. And for extra credit, see if you can figure out what might nourish that part of you to build your capacity back up. We've arrived at our date night discussion. This week, ask your sweetheart about what stretches their capacity. Where is your sweetheart drained beyond capacity? You don't have to fix it. That can be the self-care of your sweetheart. But your curiosity gives your sweetheart room to wonder. Wondering in and of itself is nourishing. Tell your sweetheart where you are stretched beyond capacity. Again, you don't have to fix it in this moment. Your sweetheart doesn't have to fix it. There is great power in simply acknowledging out loud where you feel deprived and empty. And then talk with your sweetheart about what nourishes each of you. Let your sweetheart know what nourishes you and get curious about what nourishes your sweetheart. Talk about what nourishes your relationship. Notice how, like my two-dog conundrum, sometimes the very thing that nourishes you is also the thing that puts a strain on your relationship. This is very true for parents of young children. Young children are very nourishing. They make you feel like a family. They are adorable and cute, and you want to take pictures of them. But they are also exhausting, and they drain your capacity. Now, I want to leave you with a happy story. My kids grew and grew, and when they were 4 and 7 years old, I told them we could get a dog if they spent 2 weeks doing their chores every day. I learned that introducing a new element into our lives, even a very nourishing element like a puppy, would also drain our capacity. I needed all of us to show that we were willing to be a team and share the workload. We were building our capacity as a family. After a few failed attempts, when the chores were less appealing than playing ball or drawing on the sidewalk with chalk, my kids did their chores. My son, who had a speech impediment at the time, was in love with that Disney dog, and he said, "Oh, I know what our dog's name should be, Odietter." She wasn't old, and she certainly wasn't yeller. But that adorable black lab puppy mix came into our home with us and added greatly to our family's love. Odietter nourished my family over and over. First when she was a puppy, getting a bath in a 5-gallon bucket, and then later when she picked up rocks and carried them home to place around our fire. I recognize how privileged I am that my capacity gets drained by dogs rather than the stress of paying bills. Those are huge differences. Today, my hope for you is that you will be able to identify a drain on your capacity and that you'll be able to find a way to nourish yourself and fill yourself back up. That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Mullen, and this has been Habits for Your Happily Ever After, where we get clear about your marriage communication. Because when your relationships are strong, you're better able to concentrate at work, reduce conflict at home, and receive support for your dreams, so you can have the courage to live your best life. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you'd send a link to your friend. Habits for Your Happily Ever After is produced by Grace Smith. All our music and sound comes from Walk West Productions. I'm Rebecca Mullen. Thanks for including me in your relationship today.